Good morning and welcome to the May 2nd meeting of the Design Review Board. We are going to get started today. We have a short agenda. Stephen, do you want to swear everybody in?
Thanks, Sarah, and good morning, everybody. Just to let you know, we do have a full board today with all six members present. We are still short one vacant position. Before we begin, I'll turn it over to Mr. Stephen Rothstein, who can let members of the public know how they may participate in today's proceedings.
Sure. Thank you, Michael. Good morning, all. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the board physically present in commission chambers at the Miami Beach City Hall and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform may dial 1-888-475-4499, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that are testifying today, I'd like to read the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to be registered as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before speaking to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you are speaking only on your behalf and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. For those that are testifying today, at this time, if you can please stand so I can swear you in. Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you, and please be seated. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'd like to begin with our first, or I guess, approval of the minutes?
Correct, yep.
Okay.
I did pass around the minutes this morning.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. The minutes are approved, 6-0. With that, well, we only have two applications on the agenda today, so this is our shortest agenda since I can remember in quite a long time, but we'll get right to it. So the first application on the agenda is DRB 23-0908. I'm sorry, that's second on the agenda. We had the applications out of order in the board packages. The first application is actually DRB 22-0900 for 782nd Street. This is an application requesting design review approval for a new five-story multifamily building, including a waiver from the minimum height of the ground level, a variance to reduce the required tower setback, a variance from the parking space dimensions, and a variance from the minimum average unit size to replace two single-story buildings. Now, this application did come before the board initially at the March meeting. However, the applicant requested a continuance at that time in order to address the concerns that were expressed by staff, and the board did not review that initial design. Since that time, the applicant has revised the design substantially, including reducing the overall apparent mass of the building and proportions of the tower and the ground floor, and staff is supportive of the revised design changes. We do have some minor additional recommendations, including breaking up the continuous balconies along the front elevation, as well as appropriate screening of the ground floor parking with louvers or solid walls. in order to screen the garage and the vehicular lights. Additionally, the applicant is requesting one design waiver, and that's for the height of the garage clearance from 12 feet down to 10 feet. They're asking for three variances. The first is a variance from the minimum average unit size of 800 square feet. They're requesting to have an average unit size of 784 square feet. The second variance is for the tower setback based upon the height. The portion of the building above 50 feet would require to be set back 22 feet. They're set back 21 feet, which is a minor variance. And the last variance is for a variance for the parking space dimensions of one parking space, parking space number two, to be a length of 16 feet when 18 feet is required. Staff is supportive of the variances based upon, as noted in the staff report. We're recommending approval of the application subject to the conditions in the draft final order. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Larkin on behalf of the applicant.
Great. Mr. Larkin, before you begin, let me just ask the board, has anyone had any ex parte communications with the applicant? No? Okay. And how much time do you need, Mr. Larkin?
I think about 10 minutes.
Perfect.
So, good morning, Madam Chair, board member, staff, Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, here representing the applicant. Let's go with the presentation. All right. So, here today, representing the applicant, Biscayne Point Developments, LLC, on Zoom from Buenos Aires, Argentina. They are delighted to be here and developing their first project in Miami Beach is Marcos and Santiago Bruno and Juan and Manuel Maselli. Our architect of record is Jean-Francois Gervais. Our landscape architect is Michael Grossworth. Next slide. So this is a burgeoning North Beach, another multifamily project in North Beach. I'm really happy to see a lot of attention now being shown to North Beach. It's growing by every new building that you all approve. And the historic districts are also flourishing, so it's a really good thing. As you can see, the location there is off of 82nd Street. Next slide. Just an aerial view. You see the Tatum Waterway kind of prominently on the right-hand side, a little bit to the east of us. Next slide. This is the land use designation is RM1, multifamily. Next slide. The zoning always follows the land use in Miami Beach, so the zoning is also RM1 multifamily. Next slide. Now, that's the shortest introduction I've ever done. I'm going to turn it over to our architect and let him walk you all through his design. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Jean-Francois Gervais. I'm partner of IDEA Architect. 3323 Northeast 163rd Street in North Miami Beach, Florida. We're very excited about the opportunity of presenting this project. We've been working several months into fine-tuning this project, and there's been quite a lot of evolution and refinement of the design, and we believe that at this time we're sort of reaching a sweet spot where we actually have very interesting dwelling units. It's a new construction. And we think that the modern language that we develop is very appropriate and elegant. It's for you to judge. That's what we think. This is a modest project. It has 14 dwelling units. It's only five floors. So on the ground floor, you have the access, the vertical circulation, access to the utility rooms and the parking garage. We have one parking garage per unit. We have 14 stalls. Second, third, and fourth floor, you have four dwelling units per floor. So they are one-bedroom units. And the top floor, you have two larger three-bedroom units. One characteristic that has been developed on this project in collaboration with the developer is very sensitive to the quality of life. So this is not a huge project that is solely done for profit. We were very interested in creating some extraordinary apartments. And one of the characteristics of the project is that each dwelling units, even though the majority of them are smaller in size, the majority of them are one bedroom, they all have very extensive exterior balconies. So we really recognize here that we live in a fantastic place, that the weather is one of a kind. And there's an extension of the outside living area within the created inside living areas. Some fact. Lot coverage is allowed 45% maximum. We're covering 30% of the site. Maximum building height is 55 feet. We're providing a building of 52 feet. Average unit size, as Michael mentioned earlier, are we asking a variance? We're just a little short of 800 square feet in average. This is compensated in our view to the fact that each dwelling unit have very large exterior terraces. We respect the setbacks, and as we said, the unit mix, they're mainly one bedroom with two three-bedroom units. This explained the site. It's pretty self-explanatory. Here's a slide that tells a whole story. So the building we're proposing right now is the slide to the right. And in comparison, we show you where the state of the design was a month ago when we decided to take a pause and take a month to work in collaboration with staff on refining the design. So while the original design was also very effective and worked very much in plan, you can appreciate, I think, how much lighter and how much of an architecture of glass and open air it reflects in its relation with the with the street and the exterior environment. That has been done in different fashions. The main one has been to visually reduce the massing of the balcony. So while the balconies is a very important characteristic of the architectural design, visually we agreed that visually they look kind of massive. And we work on similar iteration of the design to get something that is, in our view, more refined and more elegant. So what we have basically is shallow planters that are covered with a glass a railing, and it gives the overall view of the project something that we think is much more appealing. In the current report from staff, staff has some recommendation, and I would like to cite three of them. So if you allow me to read from the report. Although supportive of the revised design, staff has some additional design recommendation in order to further break down the mass of the building. To this end, staff recommend that the architect explore breaking up the continuous balcony of the front elevation to provide additional interest in the planar movement. So the slide that you see to your right is actually something that we have improved over the past days since the issuance of this report. So the horizontal line used to be straight and continuous. What we've done in this version is to break down the horizontality of the balconies to create more movement in the facade. And the development team, as well as ourselves, think that the product is more interesting to the eye. Secondly, as well as to increase and integrate the landscape in front of the stucco wall of the stair tower. So to the right, there's a blank wall where the stairs are located, and it was suggested that we cover that with vines. Since the building integrates a lot of vegetation, it was actually a recommendation that we welcome. And this version that we're showing here does integrate additional vine in front of the building. Finally, staff would recommend that the ground floor parking be fully screened and with a combination of solid wall and louvers. We're fully in agreement with that. And lastly, the front yard of the site is dominated by walkway steps and bicycle racks, and staff recommends an overall reduction of the hardscape and additional landscape terrain. So we took a stab at looking how we could achieve this. And once again, you have a before and after there. So the before is to your left, the after is to your right. And basically, we propose to significantly reduce the width of the staircase, the main staircase leading to the ground floor, as well as reducing the sidewalk perpendicular to the street, if you wish, so to maximize the amount of green that interacts between the building and the street. That pretty much wraps up the architectural review. I will pass the baton to Michael, who will discuss in more detail the tree variances and the waiver that we're asking for.
Sure. So I'll do that in 40 seconds. All right, next slide. So this is the waiver, typically the ground floor, the floor-to-ceiling height of the garage must be 12 feet. We're asking for 10 feet. That makes the building actually lower, so staff's recommend approval. Next slide. This is the average unit size. As Jean-Francois was saying, it's a minimal amount, 17 square feet, but it's more than made up for with our expansive balconies that surround every side of these units. Staff's recommend approval of that. Next slide. This is, it's 52 feet, so it's 2 feet above 50 feet, but the additional setback does kick in. But we feel that it's a minimal request, and this building certainly doesn't, can't be said. It's not like 75 feet in height. It's 52 feet in height, and staff's recommend approval of that. Last one allows us to have one more parking space within the garage, which is always a good thing. The one thing about North Beach is that it's underparked, so it's always better to have as much internal parking as possible within North Beach. So that's all we have. Jean-Francois and I are happy to answer any questions you all might have.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else from the public wish to speak? Is there anybody online?
I think the caller we have online is probably the architect. Where is he from?
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires, and with a phone number 7434.
Quite possibly. I think he's okay.
Okay. With that, we don't have any other callers then.
Then I'd like to close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to staff, to the board for discussion. But, Michael, let me ask you a question. What they presented, it's not, we didn't receive any of that.
The only difference is the front elevation. They changed the, if you do a comparison between what was received and what they're showing now, They did reduce the extent of the balconies along the front elevation.
Is there a way that I could get it on my laptop? It's a little far. I didn't bring my distance glasses.
Did you guys send in the does the revised rendering that you showed on the screen, is that part of the presentation that we have online? Let me check.
Sorry we don't have copies, everybody. Just please pass it down when you're done.
Or can you put they can't do it while we're talking, to put the
new... Yeah, you can put the image back up. There.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
That's it. It's a dramatic difference, I think. Much better. We're on a tight budget here. Not enough copies for you guys, sorry.
If anybody wants this, they can walk into. I'm not a design person, so.
Scott?
I see the average size of these units, but these one-bedroom, 3D, they look tiny. How big are they?
The one-bedroom?
Yeah. Because an average of 700-something feet is really tiny. And is there a minimum of what's required?
550.
550. So they can't be any larger than that.
They can't be any smaller than
that. I mean, no. The one bedrooms can't possibly be much larger than 550 if the two bedrooms averaging. Because I couldn't see any unit sizes. I mean,
they are 660 square feet in average.
The one bedroom.
Yeah, 660 square feet.
And the two bedrooms, do you know?
We have three bedrooms. The three bedrooms are 1,300 square feet.
Okay. Anyone else? Jason, do you want to?
Is the space that you're asking for, the parking space that's 16 feet long, is that a space that is required by the code, or is this just an extra space that you're providing?
It's required by code.
Okay.
Should we start maybe with a discussion of the design? I don't know. Sarah, do you have any thoughts? Oh, you want to put on your microphone?
No. In there. Better. Yeah. I'm just looking at these two. Of course, I tend to believe to think that the first one that has more horizontally to it is a little bit better than the bottom one, just because of the proportion on the stories, right? The one in the bottom actually feels a little bit... when you're cutting those two last stories, right, the rooftop and the last story, I tend to think that for the purpose of North Beach, we have a lot of horizontal buildings in North Beach. It's very low. We don't have a lot of, well, we have a new tower, but other than the new tower we really have, it's kind of low. And I think it's a little bit dark for Miami. I just have a feeling that maybe a little bit of... more light to the facade would help it feel more tropical, maybe. Given that we have a lot of Miami modern architecture surrounding this area as well, and most of it is either pale yellows or white buildings, maybe that's something that can be considered. But I definitely tend to think that the first one above, for me, in my opinion, is better than the one below. Just gives me more horizontally.
So you like the original? You like the original elevation that was submitted?
Well, definitely, it's an improvement from the first one, because the first one was, you know, the balconies were very closed, very massive.
Yeah.
So this, by having this light glass on the horizontal elements, it definitely improves. I don't know when this one happened, the second one, the one below it, if it was further in the middle, but definitely, I tend to.
Okay.
To go for the first one above. That's my take on it.
I
know what your opinion is.
Thank you. Scott, you?
Yeah. Same thing. It's ironic. I like the design, by the way. I think it's a pretty building, so I should have started with that. But
Thank you.
I like the first one, too. I think the vertical plant, it seems just off balance to me with the rest of it. And everybody likes as much balcony space as they can have. So
this is not... I just don't want to be confusing. So you like the same one that Sarah likes?
The top one?
Okay.
Versus the bottom one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The top one has more horizontality.
Yeah.
So it reads maybe thinner lines. This is the original version that we submitted for your review. It remains the same building. It doesn't change the whole character of the building. So the second version was done in answer to review from the staff and comment from the staff, showing that we are open to refining it to your liking. But the two versions don't really change the character of the building, and I speak for the developer that he'll be willing to go with one or the other.
Jason?
Overall, it's funny because I wanted to find some more information besides what you kind of edited down in your presentation that you submitted for this review. So I went and looked at the three architectural sets, which of course are from two or three iterations ago. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the most horrible looking thing. But luckily you've made some drastic improvements from those giant, like, the solid railings that you had before that were like 42 inches high and then another 18 inches below, which made them like these giant white bands. So at first I was kind of like, oh no, this is like, or I wasn't very fond of it, but I do think the improvements you've made have made the building much, much lighter, much more dynamic, much more interesting. I do like the way it kind of comes down to the street. I like that you've kind of kept a whole area sort of flat down there where the bike racks are and the landscaping. I think that's really nice, as opposed to just kind of like walling it and going right up. It's very clear. Everything around this right now is very low. So it's very interesting in your architectural set. You have a 2D elevation of the street facade. And, of course, this building is going to, until all the other homes are torn down around it, this is going to tower above very, 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 very dramatically. So my instinct was, how can it be a little bit more delicate and lighter, I think. So I think you've done a valiant job putting the glass, and I don't know if those white bands can even become maybe a little bit narrower, maybe. I think they're strong, maybe very deliberately they're strong, but clearly, since they run around the entire building, they do kind of, they're a very strong element, and maybe for me they seem a little bit too strong.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to say, too. I think overall it's really nice. It's really elegant. And I really appreciate that you've designed on all four sides. I know we've seen projects come before the board in this location, and there's not as much attention to all of it. So I think that's a nice addition to the neighborhood. Thank you for that. It's so nice to see the glass balconies. I was recently sitting on somebody's balcony and they had glass, and it was just, and you're right, the view is going to be beautiful. I think maybe also related to Jason's comments, I was thinking, you know, one of the features I do not like is a living wall. I just think that they're very hard to maintain, and I think that maybe the first round of this is going to be a condo. Yes, it's not rentals.
Well, they're meant to be rentals.
Ah, okay. That my concern with the living wall is the upkeep, and there was an image in one of the presentation materials that just had the wall without it, and it is a very large expanse of plain wall. Otherwise,
what we plan here is actually creeper vines, so they're not those. Uh-huh. Living wall with irrigation and all that. So what we're planning here is to have vines growing
up. Yeah, I mean, I was going to suggest, I mean, actually piggyback on Sarah's comment about it being MIMO, I don't know, this very sort of large, expansive vertical reminds me of a lot of like the features at the Eden Rock or something. I mean, I know that your aesthetic otherwise is very neutral and it's very modern, and I think that's what makes it pretty, but it seems like I'd love to see maybe a different decorative element. Like that just seems like a great opportunity to do something a little bit more interesting. I also wonder if you played with this expanse to me seems very heavy, and I was thinking that maybe if you played with proportions, I understand that it's a column going straight up from this really beautiful entrance door. But I wonder if maybe that's the heavy feature that we're a little bit concerned about. I don't know how that would look with a different material or something, but I can't help but think that if that was not as wide, then maybe you would achieve a sense of lightness that clearly you're going for with the other elements. And I really like the play of the balconies. Like, the building has a nice rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if maybe this expanse is undercutting that. That was my thought.
Thank you.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I was just thinking about the buildings that are contemporary, and we have pretty good examples in Surfside. It's a neighborhood right by us, and they have a lot of the MIMO architecture. Some of it was torn down, unfortunately. But the new architecture that the contemporary architects are actually placing right now has some of those elements of the concrete blocks, for example. They have these openings on the facades. They have some verticality, too. And instead of leaving it all white, they actually utilize the concrete blocks, for example, as a pattern, just because it is part of the context that they have around. So maybe if you could drive a little bit, just a 10-minute drive around the new buildings in Surfside, I'm not saying that they're better, but they do have some elements that they're trying to incorporate from history. It has a context. So maybe, you know, that's something that you can take a look at, because the height of those buildings is actually about five stories as well. There's some of those examples. So I think it's a good idea to envision it. It has a lot of new buildings there, not like, you know, this is one of the first ones that are popping in North Beach, but they already have a little bit of time there. So maybe I think it's a good idea, and they have very beautiful examples of the old 1960s as well. So I would definitely, you know, suggest that you take a ride, and maybe that that element might be something that is incorporated. And it's very Miami. We have a lot of these buildings that when you look at the volumetrics of Art Deco and the Miami Modern are very flat. The Art Deco have, you know, usually have these vertical elements. So maybe it's, you know, something reminiscent of those two, somewhere in between.
Seems like a really good opportunity for creativity. And I personally don't know if the vines are the answer. Like, I think that makes it seem more heavy than it needs to. It could just be the picture. But
I brought on the, as you can see, I brought on the screen. You shall see my screen now. You see the building innovation. This is the original version that we submitted. And in this version of reality, the balcony are more linear. And it reads, there's actually a vertical line, a vertical cornice that breaks the massing of the vertical circulation. I guess you can make a case for one or the other. In this one, I think that the vertical massing of the stairs is broken down, and this building, the lines are more fluid on this one.
So this is a picture of this before design without the vines? Is that?
Yes, we added the vine after.
Okay, so this one is that?
Yes, with the vine.
Okay, without the vine. Okay, yeah, with the vines. I see. Oh, but then, sorry, this is all just new. I think we're all digesting it. So I noticed in the after one, the balconies are sort of staggered as opposed to...
That is correct. So in the original version, we had, yes.
Which is nice.
Sorry. Do you want to go to the other document? This is the you have that? That's right. In our submittal, basically, we had the horizontal balcony, and we had no vine on the vertical wall. In answer to staff comments that the building may look better if the horizontal line were broken down and that vegetation be added, we created this this option here.
No, I think I like the, I guess it's sort of the niche for the balcony. That it isn't, I agree, but just at the top, I guess it's the first balcony where it was taken out, I would put that back. I think that's what we're getting at.
I hear what you're saying.
Because I think what's happening is you have maybe that the vertical section that now spans, I guess it's two stories, would be that needs to be broken up a little bit. So not this one, but see the first balcony or at the top floor, how it's not niched in like the one below it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think we think the niche part or the bend is successful and you removed it. It's not in that one. Are you following?
No, that's an old one. That's old.
Right.
So you want to mix basically the two. You want to mix the
right.
The one that was originally submitted plus the revised one to sort of keep the notch in the balcony, the lower one, but continue the balcony, the top floor balcony.
Yes.
We like to say have it your way. Whatever. You
exactly. No, but I hear what you're saying. In this version, I think what is missing is to bring the horizontality and cut the mass of the... the stairs. So if we were to continue the horizontal line in the upper levels, I think that the building could be more elegant.
Yeah, but it's confusing for us, obviously, because what you presented, there's quite a few differences in just, like, and then the revise where you notched it in the front, because you made other changes, too, besides just breaking up the top balcony. Like, we like the side notches, but not the center notch. So we're trying to, like, piece it together in our head to see what it would look like, but that version doesn't, you don't have that version yet, I guess.
Right.
We appreciate. Well, we sort of took a bit of a gamble, because when we saw the comments, we could have just stick to the original presentation. But since the development team is very eager to explore the best architectural language, we actually took a stab at showing this version that would answer staff comments.
Yeah. So I don't know if you could see this, but it would be this back to extend that.
Yes.
So that there's not a
there's
space
not as
there.
Much of a.
And
of,
then what about the top one? And then once you do that, if it seems awkward and you need to, you know.
I think the two lines need to would be continue to break the massing of the stairs.
So.
Yeah, because then you change the proportion of the very top band.
Yeah, and so
from
thinner to
thicker, too, to match, which is nice, I think. I don't know. I feel like with that and then Sarah's comments about the green wall, which is it's so funny you said this because, of course, I was coming up Alton Road today to come to this meeting, and at Alton and Lincoln, there's a couple of new buildings there, and there's a big wall with a mesh that's supposed to have all these vines all over it. And of course, it just doesn't work unless you do something miraculous and maintain it. Like so, I think we definitely have to be really sensitive to the idea of a green a living wall, whatever it is, whether it's a planter and vines or whatever, but. It can work, and then it cannot work. And then when it doesn't work, you would have 20 feet or 25 feet of a white wall here with, I guess, you probably have some strings there because you were going to grow vines or some mesh. But if that's going to be the design element at the end of the day after a big wind and the thing blows over and no one takes care of it because it's a rental building, whatever it is, I think your comment, Sarah, about creating something there in that element is a good idea because...
But if I may say, there's a ton of good example, and there's a ton of good example in Miami Beach where living walls are actually exquisite. And as I said, my client, it's a small-scale project. It's 14 units. So this is not something that is done in massing and just passed through. So the client is very open in making a quality statement here, and they would not tolerate something that looks shabby.
Any other comments more about the variances?
I have comments about the landscape.
Landscaping, okay.
I have several issues on the landscape plan. We're missing the landscape architect? Okay. We're missing the four side triangles. And you do have tibocinas, are those? In the two corners of the, right next to the sidewalk?
Yes.
So those correct. Will be higher than 30 inches and cannot be within the triangles.
I have to see where actually the triangles, I'm sorry, Michael Grossworth, I'm with Thomas Engineering, 6300 Northwest 31st Avenue, Fort Lauderdale. So, yeah, we have to see where the triangles fall, but I believe the tibocinos are within a raised planter anyway. I'm sorry, the tibocinos are within a raised planter. So if the raised planter is in the side triangle, then the raised planter is going to have to be revised anyway. But I think everything is outside of the triangles. But we'll get the triangles on the plan.
Okay, so you have to get the triangles in, and nothing can be above 30 inches.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Street trees. In the legend, you write N.A. Why weren't the street trees placed?
Because basically along that road, there is no green space from the property line to the street. It's all sidewalk or it's parallel parking. So
okay, but the city provides that if they cannot be placed on the right of way, they can be placed inside the property.
Okay.
And there's sufficient space there
we can place them.
To do so. Also, the in the plant legend, no, I'm sorry, in the landscape legend, the city landscape legend, there are 8 trees required, and you show 12 trees provided, but there's only 6 trees provided. Because palms cannot count as provided trees.
I thought they could be provided.
So you're missing ratio. 2 trees.
Okay, we'll go back and take a look at that.
And lastly, the size of the silver buttonwoods says 10 to 12 feet, but the code reads 12 feet minimum, so it cannot be 10 to 12.
Okay. We'll change that.
Okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
It was easy?
No problem.
Thank you. Arlinda, do you have thoughts on the vines, the living wall, that sort of approach?
I tend to agree with you. I'm not crazy about living walls because of the maintenance issue. Usually, they look good for a few months, and then either ownership changes, or it just doesn't look good. The end result is not good.
I mean, maybe with the balcony back there, they can be more of a. There's a way to do it as a planter and plant something that might at least grow tall, like a, I don't know, like a hedge or a tree or something. I don't know. And like if you're going to want greenery there to be vertical, maybe there's a better way to do that.
Also, I didn't see in architecture, how are they draining the planters and irrigating? Is there a section through the planters?
We'll have that for you, but not yet. We're developing that because the planter height has changed from the first go-around to this go-around. They were a little, which made those vertical bands.
So how high are the planters? Interior space.
Just a moment. I think we have a section.
Yeah.
So in the original design that we had in a month ago, the planters were very deep, and this was the main contributing factor to have those very heavy horizontal lines. So since then in order to lighten up the appearance of the building, the main thing to do was to make those planters thinner. We didn't want to eliminate it because the integration of the planter to the architecture of the building is really part of the concept. So we did make them thinner. And looking at the section, sorry for the little time it takes. I'm getting there. So you have the detail in the top left corner of the drawings, and the planters are 2 feet, 2 feet in depth. Thank you.
2 feet deep?
2 feet, yes.
Interior?
Yes.
Okay, and how are they drained?
We'll probably use cuppers.
Okay. Coppers meaning something like weep holes. And that's something that really doesn't look good in a building, all those weep holes along the front of the planter. So I think that you should look for a means of especially having 2 feet deep where you can do interior drainage.
This should be considered, yeah.
Okay. And the irrigation?
Yeah, we'll provide irrigation.
Because I didn't see irrigation plans here.
Yeah, it's actually on this little section, there's actually a note that that calls for it.
No, we haven't done irrigation plans yet. Because
is this final?
Sorry?
This is final.
Well, this is their designer view, so they will have to develop the drawings further for building permits. So yeah.
Okay, have to supply irrigation plans.
Oh yeah, of course. This is not even close to building permit. So,
okay.
But the conditions that you mentioned, we can easily require, you know, of course, irrigation and internal drainage of those planters.
Right.
Yep, that's fine.
I would think more than likely it's going to be some kind of a drip system in the.
I'm sorry.
I would think more than likely it's going to be some kind of drip system in the planters.
I
said, I think we're probably going to be like a drip system in the
irrigation.
Planters.
Okay.
Yeah, irrigation. Yeah.
Thank you. I have actually one more question about one of the staff comments. Can you show us, in one of the staff comments, it talked about the garages being fully contained, and you mentioned in your presentation that you had changed that. Is there a picture that you could show us, or could you direct us to that?
Yeah, it was part of the first round of comment, and we, in answer to the first round of comment, if you look at this elevation, we actually added a visual barrier. So I don't know if it was missed. It may not be obvious if you don't know where to look at, but if you look at this elevation, we actually are proposing barriers here. In the last wording of the comment, it may be that you're looking to something more significant than that. In this version of RAT, we keep it open with this fencing, if you wish, to be 6 feet in height. There could be a version of RAT where the old louver type actually goes all the way up. We understood that the intent was to block the glare from the vehicle, and we think that the solution is an elegant answer to the need of blocking the glare of the vehicles. But the option we had, the original version we had a month ago didn't have nothing there, and we did add in answer to the comments this vertical barrier.
So just that I know I'm reading that right, the thicker gray area is a solid wall, and then above it there's just
those are, yeah, this is like a fencing, if you wish.
Michael, does that satisfy your concerns?
I think we would want to have some sort of louvers that come down from the slab above to also shield the lights that they're going to have in the garage as well, so a combination of a wall around the property or something that comes up to screen the parking plus something that comes down. But I think that, like, I think right now they're just showing the screen around the base for the parking.
Mm-hmm.
But I think probably working with a design, doing something that can also project or hang down from the slab above to also just visually screen any sort of lighting in the garage.
Sure, this could be done.
then does anybody want to discuss the variances? Parking.
I'll jump in. I concur with staff's analysis that the size of the lot necessitates these three variances, which I support.
Yeah, I'm more supportive of the – I think the variances are the easy part for me, but I would definitely want the applicant to work with staff on addressing a lot of the design concerns that we have, because I think for me that's kind of a little bit of a part that's not quite fully evolved. I make no mistake, you know, this is another one of those projects where, like, the parking garage is you know, it's like compact. I mean, it's in there. There's a space that is between the three walls for one car, for a compact car. I mean, it's pushed to the max, of course, to meet the code, and the applicant's done a very valiant job of really fitting all the pieces of the, you know, the Jenga puzzle together here. I mean, hopefully nothing will need to get larger down here, like your electric room or your trash room or anything or any of these rooms, because it's a one-way in and a one-way out parking garage, you know, and then to get into some of these spaces that are on the edges right next to walls, it's on paper it all works, but I know it's going to be one of those, like, I don't want to be the one that has to get that little tiny space, and, you know, and then I have a car that's longer than 16 feet, and I'm going to stick out, and that happens to be a space right as you turn in, so it's a little bit like, oh, all right, but, yeah. But overall, I think the project is well thought out and well designed. I know your team's putting a lot of effort into, I think you can overcome a lot of the issues that we discussed with the landscaping, and, you know, I would just say we would want to make sure if we were to move forward that you would work with staff on really addressing some of these design elements that we spoke about.
And it sounds like at a minimum, the board, you would get rid of the green wall and just have plants in the planters on those levels. So with a 2-foot depth, they can have whatever plants are needed for that. And then I'm hearing the changes with the balconies that we discussed, continuing the horizontals for the roof and for the last level across. Did you want them to explore thinning the balcony slab at all? Or is that not possible with the depth of the planters?
Yeah, as I said, the original design had massive planters. I think I speak for Michael by saying that by providing 2 feet, we're pretty much at a minimum to be able to actually grow anything there.
Yeah, and it would also be to maybe explore some other sort of decorative element to replace the green.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Right, so a material for the stair tower.
We'll do that, yes.
I mean, I do like this. These sort of, like, they're like these sunken planters, kind of, which is sort of, it's very unique. Like, usually you have the planters in front of the, mm-hmm. it's either part of the railing or it's in front. And here, the plants are actually going to be coming out kind of like from the level of the mm-hmm. of the deck, which I think is really nice. It actually hopefully will lend itself to maybe some ground cover, creepy crawly that might blur that line of the deck. And I think that's, and then you'll see it through the glass, which I think is also really cool. So that element, I think, is
thank you for picking it up, because that's actually meant on purpose. So in doing so, the experience is in our view more interesting when you're sitting on the balcony. You actually can peek through the activity on the street while still having the planters.
I think that's really nice. Yeah.
So should we make a motion? Anybody ready?
Should we start with the variances?
Let's do the design first.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the design.
A second.
Subject to. Working with staff. Go ahead. Yeah.
Working with staff to address the design concerns that the board had that Michael just summarized. Okay. And also, as part of that, make sure that the, because it's very hard to see the solution they've come up with for enclosing the garage.
Right, yeah, that's something we'll take a close look at. Yes.
Okay,
that's a condition regarding that. That also include Orlando's comments regarding the landscaping and the drainage and the irrigation for the planters,
you know,
the visibility triangle requirements.
Yeah, and one of the things that we didn't really see was actually the materiality of even these sort of taupey, what is that? Is that tile? Is that?
Is that a concrete finish that you have on the exterior?
On the facade?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The vertical surfaces that flank the stairwells on the outside. It's kind of like a brown variegated, or as she said, a taupey.
Yeah, the original concept is actually to have pour concrete that would be stained, so you would get the imprints of the wood, and then you get a concrete stain that is permanent to the assembly.
That's nice.
Don't forget the street trees.
Oh yes, we'll do that. And, yeah, and I have that condition too.
And the balcony clarifications, right?
Right.
The blending of the two.
Okay, so I move to approve the application subject to the condition that the applicant work with staff regarding the issues that have been raised by the board at today's hearing.
And that was seconded by Mr. Comas?
Yes.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes 6-0.
So
can I get a motion on the variances?
Yeah, I move to approve all three variances.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Agopian. All in favor of the variances?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes 6-0.
Thank you all for your time.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Moving right along, our next and last application on the agenda is DRB 23-0908 for 521 West 30th Street. This is an application requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story home, including an understory to replace an existing structure. As noted in our staff report, we are recommending approval of the application. However, we do believe that some additional design modifications are required, particularly along the west elevation. We're recommending that additional openings or fenestration be provided to break up that mass, as well as recommending that the very large roof structure be broken up into a variety of roof heights. And we're suggesting that particularly where the recesses are located along the side elevations, that those could be opportunities to divide the roof heights and perhaps even include a flat roof in that area, which would be more sort of typical of the Mediterranean style with a variety of roof heights. So we believe that is the overwhelming concern the staff has regarding this design. We're all recommending approval with those modifications I just mentioned. But I'll turn it over to Mr. Marrero.
And Mr. Marrero, before you begin, just checking with the board to see if there have been any ex-party communications with any of the board members. Nope. Okay. Mr. Marrero, 10 minutes, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Mickey Marrero from the law firm Burkhardt, Riddell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tappanus. With me today, Arthur Bartholomew, the property owner. From V3 Architecture, we have Jose Vidal, Manny Fernandez, and Ruben Prieto, and my colleague to my left, Alejandro Moreno, who will be passing out our neighbor outreach handout. Together, we're here on the for the approval of 521 West 30th Street for the Bartholomew family. This will be their family home. They are residents of Miami Beach now, but wanted to move into a new, more resilient home, and they came to V3 team to design something that would be as resilient as possible because they are moving into a neighborhood that they recognize floods pretty regularly, and most recently in the last bout of heavy rains, although the video here doesn't work, Arthur has a lot of videos of flooding in that street, and very anxious to develop a home with the understory option. So the home that's there now is a 1925 home. We're proposing to demolish the home and replace it with a new two-story home with an understory that we're not seeking any variances or waivers, although when we originally applied, we thought we were seeking a height waiver. The modifications to the code have made that no longer necessary. So the home is proposed to be 47% unit area, 25% lot coverage, well below the maximum permitted by the code. There is a small living area in the understory with a little dining area and relaxing place, parking provided as well. But the home is otherwise a two-story home. I'd like to reserve a little time after Jose speaks so that we could discuss the conditions mentioned by Michael. We're going to try and work with staff. For example, on that west elevation, part of the reason for the lack of openings is that our neighbor on that side wanted us to retain the privacy as much as possible. So we're working with those factors as well. But with that, I'd like to, and by the way, I just want to point out, as Alejandro shared with you, Arthur himself reached out to all neighbors in that area. Several of them gave letters of support. Those are a little hard to extract sometimes,
people are out of town, but certainly not one neighbor objected to the design. Everybody was supportive. Many did give letters, and some may be appearing by Zoom. Not sure if they will, but there is overwhelming support in the neighborhood for this design. With that, I'd like to pass it to Jose Vidal to go through the plans and the design with you and reserve some time at the end to answer any questions you might have.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jose Vidal with B3 Architectural Group, offices at 8103 Northwest 33rd Street, Doral, Florida. As Mickey pointed out, we're here for Mr. Bartholomew to look at this house. We work closely with staff, gotten a lot of input from Michael Belush, and basically what we're trying to do for this client is we're taking the opportunity to go with the, with the understory design that is, very prevalent. We've seen it a lot in lately, and it's really taking advantage of something that I think every time it rains in Florida, we know that it's for real now. So one of the, in addition to that, also, our Mr. Bartholomew's family, they have children, they keep expanding, and one of the advantages that such a design allows is to maximize the amount of green areas that we have left over. So we really, when you take a look at the site that Mickey has on the screen right now, you can see that the actual footprint of the house is actually quite small. We are at 25.3%, well below what is permitted, and the design obviously abiding by all the setbacks. As you can see, we have the pool fairly back, into the property, thus allowing to have quite a bit of separation, between the home, an area where the kids can play, and so on. Again, we're working with, the concept of the understory. We're really, in lieu of having large terraces, on second floors and so on, we really take advantage of the shading and, everything happening underneath the house. And again, allowing a lot of green space to take place in the, in the main home. A lot of input was received from Mr. Belush, as far as, minimizing the driveways, the areas that were paved in front of the house. So that's something that we took to heart, dealing with all the visibility triangles, things that he pointed out in that when it comes to that. So as you can see, the house itself is actually pretty compact. The square footage for the house, for such a property is relatively small. We have 3,500 square foot and change. And as you can see, what we were trying to accomplish here is to have a very compact footprint. The terraces are on the upper level are fairly small, more really like balconies than anything else. Very open plan, again, dealing with the limitations of a, a small footprint that we're trying to do for the house. this is the second floor, where we have the master bedrooms and so on. So, obviously, a lot of thought went into how to deal with the underground, some of the things that the code has about being able to contain all the infrastructure underneath the house. So we do have the required 2 feet that we have, underneath, on top of the garage or opening, not even a garage, really, the drive. In addition to what the code requires, which is to allow for 2 feet to block all the pipes and stuff like that, my client is actually going to go well beyond that, and they're going to drop ceilings and stuff like that, so no pipes, no plumbing, anything like that is going to be exposed. Again, the back of the house is very straightforward. We want to keep it very simple. This is actually a good representation of the scale of the house. We are, as Mickey pointed out, at 28 feet, right now, which meets the new code. But as you can see, a lot of the older homes there that are substantially low below flood criteria and also very small in height, you can see that once we do this understory, we're still very compatible with even, with the rest of the homes that are in the area. Obviously, this is something that, we want to create some very interesting finishes for the project, keystone, elements that really recall kind of the Mediterranean architecture. So a lot of emphasis went into the landscaping for the house. A great deal of that has to do with, obviously, we want to have this very tropical, very, a little oasis, which is really what we're trying to do, but also for concerns of privacy, Mr. Bartholomew's girls, et cetera. But again, what we're trying to do is a home that really doesn't look like an understory. We're trying to get away from the feel of a Key West home, you know, which is something that we definitely didn't want. So in this angle, we're kind of even exaggerating a little bit the height of the house, because when you look at this thing, the fence and everything in front of it, it's actually going to be masking a lot of the lower level architecture. So again, this is one of the advantages that we have. We try to represent as much as possible in the renderings, the landscape, a lot harder than it looks for. But again, it's to really create an oasis for the home. And go to the next slide. Oops, there were a couple of perspectives. Next one.
That's the end there.
Okay. Well, actually, there's a lot more perspectives. I don't know why those are the only ones shown. Keep going.
We have them in our files.
Okay, perfect. We can look at. So again, we in regards to the comments that we have from staff about the conditions, as far as the fenestrations are concerned, obviously in the front we feel we have quite a bit of fenestrations, the same thing on the rear and the east side. When it comes to the west side of the house, which is this one that we're showing here, one of the issues that we're looking at is the upper level on the left side of the volume is where we have all of the beds and stuff like that. We didn't feel that adding like a transom or something like that was in character with the home. But again, on the other sides, on the other facades of the elevator, there's quite a bit of openings, which is something that my client was a little bit opposed to because of privacy, but we incorporated quite a bit of those drawings. And again, you have it on file, but we can show you those renderings. We have hard copies here as well. So that is one thing. As far as the planar, you know, massing of the building, one of the concerns that we have is that as we develop, you know, if we start breaking down the massing too much in the house, this is a fairly small lot. It's 50 feet. That would trigger us having to, you know, go a lot further, make it a much more linear building. And obviously, since after 60 feet, we have to have certain setbacks and so on, it would really start defeating the purpose of the understory, which is to keep as much green space as possible. We did, you know, initially have some things were a little bit boxier, like you say, and we, with the input of Mr. Belouch, we went ahead and we started breaking the massing of the house through the sides and so on. Also opened up, as he suggested, a lot of in addition to the requirements of 50% openings on the bottom, we went a little bit beyond that to break the massing and keep everything very very airy in the house. The third condition is about the moldings. That's something that our client can entertain looking at that with staff. As far as, you know, right now we have some things that are angular kind of moldings made out of the keystone. We are basically trying to create like a break the massing of the house into different levels. Go back to the front perspective. No. So again, we're trying to break the massing, you know, as we get to the upper level to have that a little bit, you know, a smaller in nature, you know, whereas the bottoms is more grounded. But we do have surrounds, you know, throughout the elevations of the house on the sides.
Thank you. Does that conclude your presentation for now? I'm sure we'll have questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anybody else online
Let me just make sure. We have a caller. Make sure if it's not for this application or it was for earlier. The phone number 743, I'm sorry, their hand is lowered now, so that was it. There's nobody else online. And just to clarify, I wasn't, in terms of a recommendation with the massing, it wasn't to change the walls. It's basically take a look at where you could break the roof. You know, for the indentation you have along the sides, that could be a flat roof that comes up with like a parapet in that portion. And maybe you have one portion in the front with a higher roof or lower roof. So we're talking about some flexibility with heights here without reducing your overall layout or footprint of the building. I also think one of the things you could add to the side elevation, I understand the issue of not having a window, but I think probably like a blind recess is also appropriate for this style of architecture.
Yeah, blind the blind recess is something that we can certainly entertain.
So that'll turn it back to the board.
Thank you. Who'd like to begin with comments?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah, I was really happy when I looked through this application, couple of things. Thanks for making a really thorough package. So not only what your presentation is, but then your backup two sets of plans. It's very easy to understand what you're trying to achieve here. I really appreciate the way you address the understory. It's very successful. We don't see too many understories on sort of a more classic-looking home. So I think you've done a really good job of kind of getting the advantage of what the understory is all about. And I really like the way you kept a lot of greenery going under your understory instead of like paving the whole thing kind of, which is really nice. I think this kind of flow through from the front where the cars parked to the back is kind of a nice sort of a like a peekaboo to the lushness and the openness of the home. And, you know, in general, just the overall, we don't really get too involved in this, but the overall layout, the way your home is programmed and the layout of spaces, it's very, you got a lot of program in there and a very, like you said, sort of a relatively small volume. I do agree with staff's comments, and I hope you can, B and C and D, their conditions in the order. I do think you could do something at that west elevation, you know, whether it doesn't have to be a window, as Michael said. I agree there. I do think the roof is massive, even though, again, relatively on a relatively small home. But I think there's some opportunities to create, like Michael had said, a little bit of variance in the roof without really, you know, adding much over much cost or really changing much anything in your floor plan at all. I think the materiality looks very authentic. I think you kind of have done a really great job of blending sort of a more classic architecture, but at the same time, to me, it looks very clean and very deliberate and very modern in a way, right? Because you're kind of taking a modern method like the understory and then making it happen in a traditional home. And I think this is a really good example to show people. Like, it doesn't have to just be these sugar cubes up on the stilts, like you said. It can look very much like what you would sort of expect from this type of home, maybe like in Palm Beach or something.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a great example for people because this is what, you know, what is coming. Unfortunately, it's just what it is. We can't change what is going on with the climate. My only concern a little bit is the side elevations. The roof, I agree. There's a lot of opportunity there to improve a little bit on the massing and cut the massing out and make it a little bit more friendlier. And at the same time, on the side elevations, maybe some mild architectural elements of even a little bit of more decoration. It looks very flat to me. It's too closed, maybe. And even when you have the openings and the windows, maybe there's, I mean, that architecture specifically has so many rich detailing on it. So I understand that it's more contemporary and it's cleaner version of it, but maybe just a few more details on those, on the sides. I couldn't see the other side, but I assume it's pretty similar. So that would be my...
The other side actually has a lot more fenestrations and openings and all. So,
yeah. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes,
thank you.
But that would be a little bit of my concern. That's all. The rest, I love the idea of the green. And actually the understory, if they have children, I was just thinking that space underneath, it's going to be so wonderful for the kids because it's shaded and it's open and it's just an extension of the green outside in the inside. So Okay. They're going to be very happy. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'd like the house very much. The landscape is fine, very nice, simple, tropical. One question is, are you aware that the three trees in the front are going to completely cover the house? Because those are 40 feet high by 40 feet wide, mm-hmm. and dense.
Yeah, and privacy, Mr. Comas, is something that our client is pretty much into.
So if that's the intention, then that's fine.
Yeah. No, I love the understory too. It looks finished. It's like one of the best examples I've seen. And I really love the fact that you left a lot of green space in the back and didn't do a big pool deck and cement the whole. It really looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, I too find this to be a really exciting, almost prototype for what, you know, I hope we're going to see more of a way to maintain buildings with historic character, but still, respond to modern and future conditions. I definitely agree about the improvement. I like that there was a little bit of niche on the sides, and agree that, varying the roof would add to it. One of my favorite design features that I think is so, endemic to the style are the arches, and maybe that's something that you could explore on the sides or even on the rear, to sort of, again, push the character. And I'm glad that you mentioned about using the green to create privacy, because I was a little nervous that everything was so open on the ground floor, because clearly this is a place where, it's not just going to be empty. There's going to be stuff there. And, I wouldn't want it to invite people to take the stuff. Yeah, that was my concern with not having any sort of garage door. The other idea that I think would also enhance the design is I felt like the choice of fencing seems really modern to me. I would love you to explore something that's a little bit more traditional. I mean, that seems to be the gate seems to be exactly what so many of the other very modern homes that we're seeing choose. And if there's something a little bit more traditional in design, I think that that would help overall. That was it. Does anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move to approve DRB application 23-0908 with staff conditions, as well as the applicant working with staff on providing additional detail elements on the west and east elevations, which are also in the staff conditions also.
Second.
Third.
Oh.
Shortest presentation ever.
Motion made by, wait a second. Motion made by Mr. Agopi and seconded by Mr. Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for your
welcome.
And I would, so Sarah's comment that she made with the last one about being inspired by the Maimo Islands in the neighborhood, there are so many wonderful homes in the area to, get your juices flowing to just drive around to inspire. So congratulations.
We had a nice 16-slide context presentation that I kind of skipped over for time, but it's there.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Everyone.
And our next meeting is June 6th.
Okay. Should we make a vote to conclude?
I move to adjourn.
Yes.
Second.
We're adjourned.
Thank you. See you June 2nd. 6th.
June 6th.
June 6th.
D-Day.